Thank you, Tim, and thank you to the worship team for leading us. Great to have the strings with us today. Let me start with some words of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Sometimes things change. You've probably noticed that, right? And the change can be dramatic. When I was about 13, one day I asked my dad, "So, Dad, how much money do you make a year? How would that have worked for you?" My dad said this, and I think this might be a direct quote, "None of your business, Buster." I didn't know. I guess that was kind of a personal thing. So, sometimes things change. Sometimes they change quickly. So about a year and a half ago, I started taking care of my dad's finances. And now he asks me, how much money do I have? It only took, 50 years. And sometimes I kind of go through things with him. And sometimes I just say, "Dad, you're fine. You have nothing to worry about. We're taking good care of you and your money, and you don't have to worry about it." But what if a week after I asked my dad when I was 13 how much money he made, what if a week later he came to me and said, "You know, son," this is highly hypothetical, "you know, son, I realize that someday you're going to be an adult and you're going to be handling money of your own, so what better way to learn and what better time to learn? I'm going to let you help me with the family finances. Here's my pay stub. Here's an account of all my my savings and whatever, my retirement, and let's do the finances together." Now, would that have been a change? Probably would have called the ambulance to take my dad to the hospital. But sometimes things change, and sometimes they change really quickly and in a dramatic way. So far in our study of Peter's first circular letter to the churches, we've seen some really big changes. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we have been brought into a whole new life. We have a living hope. That's a big deal. Part of this life is becoming, with the Holy Spirit's help, more like Jesus. And that's what Nancy read for us. That's what we were going to preach on last week, that we are called to be holy because our Father in heaven is holy. We're called to be like Him. And today, Peter tells us that we are part of a whole new family. If you love and follow Jesus, you're part of a whole new family. For hundreds of years, from the time of Abraham on, if you were not born Jewish, you were an outsider to the things of God. So what started out as a pathway to God's blessing, God told Abraham, "Through you all people will be blessed." What started out as a pathway to God's blessing became exclusive. I believe that God always meant there to be a sign that said, "Come in." I think it was human failure that made that sign say, "Stay out." This was the message to the Gentiles. They had an adversarial relationship over time for some understandable reasons. By the time of Jesus, they weren't called Gentiles. They were called Gentile dogs. They just hated them. It was us against them. And for people like us who are Gentiles, we were not allowed to enter the place of worship, the temple in Jerusalem. "You are not part of the chosen people, you Gentiles. Stay out." The message was clear and enforced. But this is where the change happens, right? With the coming of the Messiah, the one chosen and sent by God to redeem the people of this world, with the coming of Jesus, there is something new. There's a new covenant, a new understanding, a new way of knowing God. There's a new temple. There's a new priesthood. And for those like us who were born Gentile, the door that has blocked our path is now wide open. The sign that said, stay out. Now says, come in. It's a big difference, isn't it? Instead of being kept out, now we are invited in. And that was a huge change. To help us appreciate the magnitude of this shift, we first need to understand a little bit about the old way, the old covenant, and then compare it to the new way, the new covenant. And more specifically, today we're going to consider the temple in Jerusalem and the priesthood, old and new. So let's start with the temple. When God led the children of Abraham out of slavery in Egypt, he gave Moses plans for a portable place of worship, a tent of worship called a tabernacle. And it was portable because, as you know, they were moving through the wilderness, so they had to be able to move it. Inside the tabernacle was the most holy place, the most sacred place. It was curtained off. And there, above the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God touched the earth. In fact, when the tabernacle was first consecrated to the Lord, the mysterious smoke of God's Spirit filled the entire place, a sign that God was with them. And only one person out of all that, 4 or 5 million people, only one person, the high priest, could enter the most holy place on only one day of the year. That's it. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And he did that to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. So in the days of King David and his son Solomon, the portable worship tent was finally, it was getting long in the tooth, it was finally replaced by the temple in Jerusalem. And though there were local Jewish congregations called synagogues, still are, the temple in Jerusalem was a focal point for worship. We don't really have an equivalent. So for each of the 3-week-long harvest festivals, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, if you were an able-bodied Jew, you would go from wherever he lived, scattered around the end of the Mediterranean Sea, you would go to Jerusalem to celebrate that week-long festival inside the city. So it was a sacred place, but it was a place for Jews only. And in it, there was the most holy place where God's presence touched the earth. So, you have that understanding of the temple from the old covenant. But can you imagine what those who were listening to Jesus thought when he said, I am the temple? wait a second. I think it's in season 3 of The Chosen, they had that scene. Jesus said, I am the temple. And people look at him like, what? Now, we know he's speaking symbolically. He doesn't think he's a building. But he understands that God was doing something new through him. Now the presence of God is not in some sacred room that's closed off to everybody. Now the presence of God is in Jesus, the Son of God. It's a whole new thing. Paul writes this about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, dwell in Jesus. So now the presence of God touched the earth in Jesus. Something totally new. Jesus understood his role clearly. That's why he was able to say to his men when they were in awe of the temple in Jerusalem, tear this temple down and I will rebuild it in 3 days. People heard that and said, are you kidding me? If you tore this temple down, it would take decades to rebuild it. 3 days. But he wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about himself. Tear this temple down through crucifixion, and I will rebuild it in 3 days through resurrection. So no longer did the presence of God touch the earth. In the most holy place in the temple, Jesus was the temple. So all that is background. We're going to look now in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. I think I'm going to read it off the screen. Not to put any pressure on you, Dave, but I want to make sure that I read what you guys are seeing, because sometimes there's different NIV translations. So Peter writes to them and to us, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. So, thank you. Peter refers to Jesus as the cornerstone. Starting with Jesus, God is doing a whole new thing. God builds a new group on Jesus as the foundation. This new thing that God is doing, this new family that God is building stone by stone, is open to Jews and Gentiles, men and women, old people and children, slaves and free people, wise and foolish, rich and poor. They are all welcomed and included. The doors of this new temple, this Jesus family, are wide open. Come in. Peter is writing in this, the people who first received this letter, there were Gentiles. And he wants them to know that they are chosen, loved, that they belong. And staying with the word picture he uses, if Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation, we are living stones. Incredibly, God wants to work in and through us. So there's this whole new temple. First it was a building, then it was Jesus, and now it's this whole new family of those who love and follow Jesus. And if you love and follow Jesus, you are part of this whole new thing that God is doing. To those who cry out to Jesus, "Lord, forgive me and heal me," they become part of this new family. The outsiders are now insiders. And the door to knowing God is wide open. With this new covenant, there is a new temple. You can be part of a whole new family, no matter who you are. That's the temple. It's a whole new thing. Let's look at the priesthood. In verse 5, Peter tells his friends that he is writing to, "You are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So let's take a moment to talk about the role of priests in the Hebrew Scriptures so we can understand the dramatic shift Jesus put into effect and so we can understand who we are through Jesus. So what is a priest? In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, a priest was a man, always a man, who was born into a priestly family, that is, he is a descendant of Moses' brother Aaron. And their role was to serve at the tabernacle and later the temple. So according to the law of Moses, faithful Jews would bring many types of offerings to the temple in Jerusalem. So let's say that you were aware of your sins and you wanted to make a sacrifice so that you could be forgiven. You would take a lamb without defect to the temple in Jerusalem, and the only person who could receive that lamb and make it an offering were the priests. That was their job. They served at the temple. And so they would take that lamb in your place. That lamb would symbolically receive the punishment that you deserved. You can see now why we call Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the priest, it was heavy work, would kill the lamb. They would remove the skin and they would offer that or burn that lamb on a fire of sacrifice there at the temple. That was what the priests did. They took turns, they had shifts, but that was the work of a priest. So The priest played a sacred role, offering sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. The priests were like a bridge connecting people to God. Now, in some faith traditions, priests still play that role, don't they? They administer the sacraments, they read the scriptures, they intercede for the people. But let's see what Peter says about priests in this new family of Jesus, this new covenant. So who are the priests in this new family? Let me read for you verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So, in this new family of God, who are the priests? You are. All of you. What a difference, right? Are you saying that we no longer have to sacrifice animals for our sins? Yes, and aren't we glad? Jesus has become the one perfect sacrifice. Are you saying that we can approach God on our own without the help of a priest? That's exactly what I'm saying. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4. Let us, then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, like a little child, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is the great connector. Jesus is the great mediator. Jesus is the great high priest. We don't need any other. And we have direct access to God through Jesus. It's as though we've been invited into the most holy place. It's this priesthood of the believer that was one of the drivers of the Protestant Reformation under Martin Luther in the early 16th century. He taught that people could have access to God without a priest. Scandalous. He taught them that they could read the Bible for themselves. And around that same time in Germany, a little thing was invented called the printing press, which made it possible to produce mass copies of Scripture. And then just to take it a step further, Martin Luther translated the Latin Scriptures into modern German. It's the first modern translation. So people could actually read the Bible themselves, because after all, we are priests, according to Peter. Each one of us, we have access to God. That's why we don't have priests in the Protestant church, only pastors. Pastor is just another word for shepherd. So we shepherd the flock, we teach people to pray, and we teach them to read and understand Scripture themselves. So back to the people who received this letter from Peter. Can you see what a revolution this Jesus family is? The sign always said, stay out. But now it says, come in. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, maybe you grew up in a Roman Catholic church. A lot of people in our area did. And this is all seems kind of weird and new. But you are welcome to come in. And you have direct access to God through Christ. And you can read scriptures and study them and obey them and learn the Jesus way of living. Or maybe you grew up in a non-religious home and this stuff's really new for you. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start another, you'll see signs for it, another Begin class. And that Begin class is designed specifically for people for whom this is all new. That's why it's called Begin. So Greg and Shannon are going to be teaching that again for us. Would you wave at me? Greg is our facilities director here at church, Greg Niver, and he and his wife Shannon are going to be leading that class down the hallway at room 134 at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning starting in a couple of weeks. But it's a perfect place to learn what it means, this all means. I remember when I first went to a Christian college, I didn't know anything about the Bible. And so for me, it was a place to begin. And when I realized that this whole new life is open to me through Jesus, It was so attractive and so compelling. And finally, my life had some purpose. And finally, I felt forgiven and free. And that is open for all of us. Come in. Come into this new family of God. You don't need to know everything to get started. All you need to do to get started is to pray that prayer, Lord, forgive me and heal me. I want to discover what it is to be part of this family. And you are welcome. You are welcome. And when you become part of this family, you're part of this new temple. You are a priest. You have direct access to God. You can read and understand and obey Scripture on your own. The door is wide open. And if nobody has ever invited you before, let me do that today. Come in. Come in. You will find grace and hope and healing and find that you're part of a whole new family. Come in. One beautiful way to express our faith as we follow Jesus is to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a family meal. It's a family meal. And you are invited. If you're not able to walk up front to receive the elements, just wave at our handsome ushers and they will serve you in your pew. Let me pray for us before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, a prayer of preparation. We who are far away have heard your voice speaking to us in a variety of ways. But you call out in love for us. You know all about us, our strengths, our weaknesses, our good deeds and our sins. Your love for us is completely realistic, and yet there is enough grace for us. Jesus made a way for us to be part of this new family, to become sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus. Thank you for that invitation. Thank you for calling out to us, for inviting us to come in. May these be holy moments when we sense your presence among us. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Spirit. Amen. Will those who are serving please come forward?